All right, good morning. How is everyone doing this morning? Good? Did you enjoy the keynote? Excellent. So we'll be talking about the programming languages of the future. How many C# developers do we have in here? Excellent. VB? A few? F#? No one? All right. That's fair. So we'll talk about the future of programming languages. I'll just say this from the start. I wrote a book on C#. So I'm biased. I think C# is the winner. But this is not only going to be about the future of C#. I will be talking about changes coming in the programming language itself. But we will also focus on the history of the programming languages to understand what's coming in the future and kind of how Microsoft works with these changes. Before we get into that, I'm Philip Ekberg. I'm a Microsoft and Xamarin MVP, which pretty much means that I fly around to conferences. I talk about C#, I talk about Xamarin, I talk about all Microsoft things. Sometimes I'm not overly positive, but that's okay, because I'm not employed by Microsoft. I don't speak on behalf of Microsoft, so I can say whatever I want. I wrote a book called C# Smorgasbord. You can check that out. And when I don't do talking, I do diving as well. But today we'll be diving into the programming languages of the future. So the future is pretty interesting. If we look at what's happened over the last 20 years, there's been so many changes to how we work with software, especially how we work on a Microsoft platform. If you started out in the late 80s with programming, you might have tinkered with assembly or BASIC or QBASIC. And we'll talk about how that has impacted the choices that Microsoft makes today when they evolve their programming languages. If you had asked me 15 years ago, or when I was a kid, if I thought that in my late 20s or in my early 30s, if I thought that holographic programming would be a thing, I would probably think, well, that's just, you know, a myth. We're never going to be doing like the Minority Report thing. But now, outside here, you can play around with the HoloLens, which is, you know, the first step to the total holographic experience. And that kind of fits into what programming languages are appropriate for that technology. So we have all these choices. I can choose between working with C#. I can work with VB. I can work with F#. But all these choices, they can be pretty hard to make. So if I work with older technologies, with VB, I might want to step into the future and look at how can I evolve my product, even if it's using a so-called older programming language, into something that's fitting for today's technology. Like if I work with HoloLens, do I want to build my app using VB or C#? I would probably choose C#. And we'll talk about why I would do that throughout this talk. So before we talk about the future, I want to step back and talk about the history of these programming languages, because they've all evolved throughout the years. You know, C# does not look at all what it did when the first version came out. I remember working with C# version 1, and you didn't have generics, which made it harder to work with collections of items. You know, then they released generics, and I could cut down the amount of code, the amount of errors that I had in my application. And then over the years, we've seen all these introductions of language features that makes it a lot easier for me to write less error-prone applications, which is ultimately what we want to achieve. I want to build applications on the Microsoft platform without building apps that potentially crash or cause problems. So let's step back in history. How many of you remember this? Did anyone write QBASIC? That is awesome. So almost half of you worked or have seen QBASIC before. This is probably the first, you know, my experience with programming. When I was about 9 years old, I had this 386 computer. I was sitting there and tried to play some games. But when that got boring, I started, you know, tinkering with QBASIC, which led me to interact with my computer in a totally different way from what other friends of mine were doing. So, you know, I had my computer ask me for how old are you, what are your favorite things, and it looked for, you know, particular words. But I felt that I was interacting with this computer program. So over the years, you know, this has evolved from QBASIC into Visual Basic 6, into VB.NET, and along the way there we got C# and F#, and they all solve pretty much different problems. So if we look at the timeline of what has happened over the years, you know, in 91, we got the first VB6 version. Is anyone still working in VB6? I'm so sorry. Oh, I didn't expect so many of you working in VB6. You know, it's not that long ago that I had to work with VB6 myself. I was working in ASP Classic. I was trying to, you know, make an application look more modern, even if I was working on an older technology. VB6 is still great. There's a user voice out there, so you can go and vote and ask Microsoft to add support for VB6 in the later versions of Visual Studio, so you can develop VB6 applications as well as run them on your latest operating system. I don't know why you want to do that, but you know, there are people that have invested tremendous time and money into building VB6 applications, so I kind of understand why you want that. And then a few years later, you know, when we got the first release of C# and we got VB.NET, and then if we fast forward a bit, we got a few more releases. Then at the same time when we got, you know, that release of C# and VB, Microsoft also released the first version of F#. So what's interesting here is that they introduced a totally new paradigm. They introduced functional programming in their toolkit. It's all built on the .NET framework, which means that if I write a program in F#, if I write a program in C# or VB, they can all interact together. And that's the promise of working in the .NET ecosystem. But if we look at the lines here, as we continue getting releases out of Microsoft for these programming languages, they're all aligned, except F#, because F# is built by a totally different division at Microsoft. C# and VB is built by one unit, one team. They work totally close together, and they try to introduce new features in these programming languages at the same time. So fast forwarding a bit more, we got all these releases. They're pretty much aligned at this time. So we got new versions of C#, we got VB, and we get F#. And we got a few more F# releases there along the way. And if we look at last year, so last year, we got C# 6 and VB 2015. One of the most big features in these programming languages was that we got the introduction of string interpolation and ways that we can work with null propagation to avoid null reference exceptions in C# and VB. So the idea of Microsoft continually introducing new features into these languages is because they want us to build better software. And they don't care if we work in VB, F#, or C#. They just want us to work in the .NET framework. So from Microsoft's perspective, it doesn't matter which language we think is going to be there in the future, because they're going to continue supporting these languages. But up until this point, up until C# 6 and VB.NET 2015, they've had pretty much feature parity, which means that they've had aligned releases, and they've had language features introduced in both of these languages at the same time. All right? So what does feature parity mean? If we look at this example here, so if we talk about Link. Link was introduced in F# in 2012. Link is an awesome addition to the programming language. It makes it a lot easier for me to work with collections. It makes it a lot easier for me to write readable and maintainable applications. This was released in 2007 on both C# and VB. And what's interesting here is that it took them 5 years to port this to F#. Now, there's no F# developers in here. Maybe they didn't think that F# would be the programming language of the future, so they thought this talk was unnecessary. Or, you know, they already know the answer. Functional programming is the future. But what we see here is that language features introduced in either C# or VB, they were introduced at the same time. So no matter if I worked in VB or C#, I would be able to, you know, if I just know the syntax, I can work with these features. And then we can talk about async. Async was also released to make it easier for us to work with asynchronous principles. So we got Link, it made it easier for us to work with a lot of data, it made it easier for us to write readable and maintainable apps. And async makes it harder for us to write maintainable apps. It's two keywords that are supposed to make it a lot easier, but they add a lot of complexity. But the idea is that we make it easier for the developers that know how these keywords work to build awesome apps. And this has been in F# since 2010. It's been around for, you can do concurrent programming in F#. It's been out of the box for a long time. But the idea of async was introduced a few years ago, and then in 2012, this came to C# and VB. Again, we see here that they, you know, they snag features from one another. So F sharp, they got the idea of link from C sharp and VB, while VB and C sharp got some features out of F sharp. So if we have two different teams at Microsoft working on these two different paradigms of languages, we have C sharp and VB in one box and F sharp in one box, they can both independently build their awesome features and then just share that idea between the languages. Then there's something new coming in the next version of C sharp called pattern matching. How many of you know what pattern matching is? One. Awesome. I'll show it later on. I'll show an example of pattern matching. It's one of those fundamental principles when you talk about functional programming. So that's been around since 2005. It's been around since the earliest release of F sharp. But it took 5 years to get that into C sharp. Actually, that should be this year. So it's been a lot longer than that. So, sorry, there's an error in my slide there. Pattern matching is coming next year. So it took 12 years for them to introduce that into the C sharp programming language. Do you know how long it took for them to do it in VB? Any guess? They're not doing it for VB. Does that mean VB is now dead? No, probably not. The thing here is, we see here that earlier, Microsoft has focused on introducing the same language features across all the different languages. It took 12 years to port pattern matching into C sharp, but they're not doing it yet for VB. So now we no longer have this idea of feature parity, which means that if I'm a C sharp developer, I might get one feature before the VB guys get their features. The same goes for everyone that's working with VB. They might get language features before I do. But remember, we're all working on .NET. We're all working on the same ID and the same tools and the same toolkits. So I asked one of the program managers at Microsoft, what's the deal with pattern matching in VB? Why are we no longer, you know, why is there no feature parity anymore? He told me that pattern matching will take VB to the next level, details to come. I'm still waiting for the details. This was a while ago. I'm going to try and stop stepping at this cable here. So he told me that pattern matching is coming to VB sometime in the future. It's going to take VB to the next level. So does that mean that VB is no longer up to date? Is my time invested in working with VB unnecessary? Most of you are C-sharp developers. So you probably don't even care about VB. But there are so many VB developers out there, you'd be surprised how many people work in VB and web forms and VB6 and so forth. So why would you choose one of these languages over the other? Why would I choose to work in F sharp? F sharp is a functional programming language, which pretty much by definition means that there's less noise, there's less code, there's less chances for null pointer exceptions. Their own words is that they have awesome type inference. It's immutable by default, and they support concurrency. So the idea of having concurrency out of the box in the programming language and everything immutable by default makes it a lot easier to work with, for instance, in the financial sector or working with large collections of data, or if you're building a compiler, you could use F-sharp. If you do tree manipulation, you could use F-sharp. So the idea here is that you can choose F-sharp for one particular problem to solve. You don't have to choose F-sharp or VB or C-sharp for your entire solution. Think about microservices. If I'm building a microservice on the web, I'm building one little isolated box of functionality that is solving one problem. Sure enough, they can communicate with each other if I had different microservices, but the same goes for different languages. I can choose one language for one feature to solve one particular problem. So why would you choose VB? Well, one of the biggest reasons is that people have been doing VB for a very long time. Did anyone work in this early version of Visual Studio? That's awesome. So about as many that still work in VB, I guess. So this has been around for a long time. So we have a lot of people out there that know how to work in VB. They come from this old QBasic idea. They probably transitioned into what is now known as VB6 and then VB.NET. And according to Microsoft, they're still heavily invested in improving VB as a language. So there's no right answer which one is going to be the winner of these languages. They're all there to stay. They're all here to make it easier for us to build our solutions and choose the language that is appropriate for the problem that we're trying to solve. One interesting thing with VB is that they have the concept called XML literals. So this here is just VB code. So inside my VB file, I've just pasted some XML code, and that's awesome. Now, I don't like working with XML, because everything should be JSON by now, someone says, right? But the idea here is that if I do things that needs to be represented as XML, working with that structure in VB makes it a lot easier. For instance, an example is the new compilers that compile C# and VB. When you compile your program, what the compiler is doing is that it's translating all your code into a tree structure. And a tree structure can be converted into XML. So if I have one line of C# code, I know what the tree representation in XML would look like. I can write a unit test in VB where I just paste the expected tree structure. Right? Makes it a lot easier for me to maintain and work with my unit tests if I work on a compiler. So that's a very specific problem. But in this case here, you know, I simply have some XML in my VB file here. Just imagine doing this in C#. You'd probably store it in a separate file, and you'd work around that problem, right? You can still solve this in C#. It's just that in VB, it's less ugly. And you know, you would probably choose to continue working with VB if you work in ASP Classic. You know, ASP Classic has been around for a long time. Just a few years ago, I had to go back and look at and add a new interface for a VB for an ASP Classic app. It's probably not something you do every day, but there's still a bunch of systems out there that rely on VB6 and VB.NET, web forums with VB.NET, as well as ASP Classic. So, you know, what's the difference between working in these languages? If one of them is supposed to be the winner, or if all of them are the winners, I need to know that there's a difference. So if we look at F#, F# looks like this. I have some, you know, parallel code here. I'm running over some list of numbers. I'm just printing that out. And I'm using built-in functions to help me solve that parallel or asynchronous problem. The equivalent in C#, I'm using parallel extensions. So I'm using the power of the .NET framework to solve pretty much the same thing. And then if we look at VB, it's just different syntax. I'm still using the parallel extensions, and it's pretty much looking identical to the other ones. The only difference here is the syntax. And when I'm working with larger applications, I will notice a difference between, you know, working in F#, which makes it easier for me to work with, for instance, tree manipulation, if I want to do that. If I work with XML structures and work with unit testing with my compiler that I'm writing or working on, VB would be appropriate and look a little bit different. But most of the time, these languages, they share the same features, because Microsoft is trying to port the different features across these different languages. And they're also allowing us, you know, to use the same .NET framework capabilities. So in my opinion, the best of all the worlds is C#, because C# allows us to write declarative programming, functional programming, as well as imperative programming. So it's using all these different principles from these different paradigms to allow us to work with different scenarios. Even if we don't have things like the XML literals from VB, which is a killer feature for VB developers, we have other things in C# that makes it a whole lot easier to work with. We can write less code because C# is not as chatty as VB. But if we go even further, if we choose F#, which is a truly functional programming language, we would have even less code, but it would probably be harder for, you know, the normal C# developer to understand. So what is making C# so powerful? It's all the different language features that has been coming from Microsoft over the last few years. And what's interesting here is that in the latest version of C#, we got a whole list of features, but only two of them, or pretty much two of them, were shared across to VB. So there's this idea of not being on par with the features across these different languages. We got auto property initializers, which are excellent. You know, we got null propagation or null conditional operator, which is what it's called now. String interpolation, which makes it easier for us to not use string format and so forth. If we look at the history, though, we see that in C# 2, we got a lot of features. You know, going from the first version to the second language, of course, there's going to be things that we need to introduced to make this language much better. But then the features started, you know, wearing off. C# 3 got a lot of features, then 4 got less features, and 5 got even less features. And then we got a whole list of things thrown into C# 6. That's because Microsoft's reworked all the compilers. Think about that for a second. If I have a compiler, or any software, for instance, that I've been working on for the last 10 or 15 years, it's not fun going back into that code base and add features, right? I don't like going back to code I wrote last weekend, so, you know, 15 years ago, I probably would be furious at myself for looking at my code. So, you know, sharing is caring. Sharing the features across the different languages is what makes these programming languages super powerful. So there's no clear winner here. We have F-sharp, which has its functional paradigm. We have C-sharp and VB that both share pretty much the same features, but they look a bit different, and they target different areas. But if we go back to the idea of we build microservices for everything in our solutions, I see a lot of companies working a lot more with NuGet. So think about, if I want to use F-sharp to solve a very particular problem, I work in the financial sector, and it's super easy for me to write some algorithm in F-sharp for that particular financial problem. Writing the same thing in C-sharp or VB would take me a lot more code. It would be much harder for me to understand. So how about we build that particular feature in F-sharp, we publish that as a NuGet package, and then our entire team that work in C-sharp or VB can focus on building their apps in C-sharp and VB. So if we have an ASP.NET frontend, for instance, that can be built in C-sharp, while our packages that we share across the different teams can be written in any programming language possible, out of those three, of course. And this idea is often, you know, it's not welcoming because people don't want to do VB. I've been, you know, saying no to jobs because they showed me a VB file in the past, because I really wanted to work in C-sharp. I didn't think about VB as a tool for solving certain problems. If, again, we talk about the C-sharp compiler. They wrote the compilers in C-sharp, the unit tests in VB, and we can have a look at that at GitHub. That just shows you that it's all .NET. It's all, we can choose the language that is appropriate for that particular problem. You know, Microsoft, all they want is for us to choose one of these languages that compile down to something on their .NET platform. As long as we use Visual Studio, they don't care if we publish to Linux, they don't care if we publish to Windows, they don't care if we're on a Mac, because ultimately, they're going to get our money, because we want to run on Azure, we want to run on the best possible cloud service out there. We want to build apps for mobile, we'll choose Xamarin. We want to publish the Xamarin apps, we'll use the tools from Microsoft to publish that across their new mobile center thing. So the idea is that we have any app, any developer, any platform, we build our applications in C-sharp, VB, or F-sharp, and the promise is that we can run these different apps on either HoloLens, since in the future, everything's going to be holographic, hopefully, or we build mobile apps. We might be working with desktop applications or mobile applications using Xamarin. The idea is that we can solve these different problems using either C-sharp, F-sharp, or VB. And we can do that with the help of Xamarin. How many of you saw the Microsoft Connect conference last night? Just one? Awesome. So they've announced that they're going to release Visual Studio for Mac, which is just Xamarin Studio with a new name, which is probably not a surprise because it would take a long time to just port everything again. But they're releasing that for Mac. What that means is that Microsoft is not only focusing on giving us the experience of working with C-sharp, VB, and F-sharp on the Mac, but they're also allowing us to take part of this idea of they're invested in cross-platform. We can work with any app on any platform, and any developer can work with us. If you're a Node.js developer, or if you're a Python or Java developer, you can easily transition into Visual Studio for Mac and start building on the .NET framework. So when we talk about these different programming languages, one of the first things people tend to ask about is performance. You know, which language is the best? I just want it, you know, right on paper here, just tell me which one is the best so I know where to focus my energy for the next 10 years. If I'd known that, you know, I would probably have started a talk with that. But I hear this a lot. I hear F-sharp is the best and the fastest. You know, the best is subjective to whoever you ask. If you ask a functional programming person, they would probably tell you that, you know, F-sharp is the only thing that you should use. It solves all your problems. But you know, that's not really true. So F sharp solves a lot of cool problems, but it's not faster than any of the other ones. It all compiles down to CIL. CIL is a new name for Microsoft IL. And when you write your C sharp, VB, or F sharp applications, it compiles down to this common language that is then executed by the runtime. And that code that's compiled is the same for all the different languages. So if we look at this example here, I'm simply declaring a variable. I'm printing that out to the console. I'm using the .NET framework to call console.writeline, running the same thing for C sharp and the same thing for VB. Now, this example here is pretty trivial, right? It's not involving a lot of complex operations, but showing this with a more complex thing would be unnecessary, because it's all just compiling down to something that looks like this here. So at the end, there's no language that is faster than the other. It's up to the developer that work with F sharp, BB, or C sharp to just write it as fast as they can for that given language. Of course, you can use the .NET framework to speed things up. You can use parallel extensions, you can use async, and you can use all those sorts of different language features to help you build better apps. But if you use async in C sharp, async in VB, and async in F sharp, you're going to perform the same. So if we think about the languages are getting the same features, they're ultimately as fast as the other ones. So why would you choose one over the other? It comes down to personal preference and what kind of problem that I'm solving. And in the future, we'll see a lot more features probably shared across these languages because Microsoft introduced Roslyn. Does everyone know what Roslyn is? Great. So Roslyn is also known as the Microsoft Compiler Platform. It's the new rewritten compiler, which also supports us to write C-sharp scripts. Notice here that they've introduced this concept of allowing us to write scripts in our apps. I don't know if we have any gamers here, but for World of Warcraft, for instance, you can write extensions for the game client in Lua. Think about doing that in C-sharp instead. I can write extensions to my game or extensions to my medical software or whatever software you think about. I can do that in C-sharp, and I have the power of the new compilers to run these scripts in an isolated environment, which is great. So Roslyn promises us that it's easier for Microsoft now because they rewrote everything. You know, every developer knows that. Just rewrite your code, and it's better than the last one. That's not the case. But in this case, let's just be happy with that. So Microsoft rewrote the compilers. The promise is that they can now add more features to C-sharp. They can add more features to VB. But F-sharp is still its own thing. It's open source, but it's totally separate from these languages. But since both of these concepts are, or both of these compilers are open source, if someone comes along and writes a killer feature for F-sharp, there's nothing stopping me from helping Microsoft out and building the same feature on Roslyn. So since it's open source, and since they rewrote the compilers, and since it's all very awesome, and we've probably all experienced that in the past, you might not want to trust Microsoft and everything. So will they maintain my language? Well, as I mentioned, the compilers are open source. If they don't maintain it, you can. That's probably not a good selling point, right? But look at this here. So the compilers, they have 20,000 commits a few weeks ago. They have a lot of releases. They have a lot of open issues. And the issues here is not problems with the compiler, but it's, in fact, interactions with the community. So they're totally working with these compilers in the open. The idea is that, you know, they get pull requests as well, so people contribute to the new compilers. The idea is that they add issues on GitHub, where they add their design notes. What kind of features are coming in the next version of C-sharp? Previously, it pretty much meant that to get an idea of what's coming in the next version of C-sharp or VB or anything related to Microsoft technologies, you'd have to be invited to Redmond at Microsoft campus in Seattle. You'd have to sit down with the team and talk about the future. You had to sign an NDA because everything was very secretive. Now they're doing everything in the open. Now they're doing everything on GitHub. And here we have notes from their internal design meetings, where they, for instance, discussed adding tuples to C#.
But you know, as I mentioned, this here is just a proposal for adding this to C sharp. So again, they're heavily focused on right now, we want to build awesome features for C sharp. That means that there's no longer any language parity, which kind of makes me sad because I know a lot of VB developers, and I feel like Microsoft, they're not skipping over the VB developers, but they're kind of shifting focus towards, let's just add a bunch of features to the C sharp people so they're happy, and then we'll port that over to VB as well. That kind of makes me a little sad. But it also makes me happy because it means that they can now heavily focus on building awesome language features for C sharp, as well as then porting that over to either VB or F sharp. And if there's something like pattern matching that's been around in F sharp or Scala or any other functional programming language for a long time, it's now a lot easier for Microsoft to put that into the next version of C sharp. So we'll look at a few features in C sharp 7 and C sharp 8 later on. But first think about, will you really notice that there's a lack of a language feature? So I've been programming for a long time, and all these language features that come along all the time, they, of course, they help me solve trivial problems, but it's not like they're, you know, solving new concepts. All right. They're solving a very particular problem. They're letting me write better apps, they're letting me write less code, but I probably wouldn't notice if there's a lack of a feature. It's not like I would say, let's go with C sharp instead of VB because it's missing pattern matching. Because that would be silly, because I can solve the same problem in a different manner. I would rather choose VB over C sharp if I work with a lot of XML, for instance, or other programs. If I have an application that I've been working on for a long time that's already written in VB, I wouldn't just rewrite everything in C sharp because C sharp has more features. Does everyone know what .NET Core is all about? You know what it is, but no one knows what it's about. That's great. So .NET Core, I have no idea what it's about either. Like, no one knows. They released a version which is now deprecated. That's all I know. Now, joking aside, .NET Core is the new promise of running .NET everywhere. So the idea of us building apps in C sharp and VB and F sharp, and then be able to bring this across to OS X or Mac OS and Linux and Windows, and have the same thing running on all these different platforms. That's the general idea. And then we have ASP.NET Core, which is the ASP.NET implementation on top of .NET Core, which only works with C sharp. So again, if I want to work in the latest technology, everything kind of points to go work in C sharp. Doesn't work with F sharp yet. If you're doing Xamarin, for instance, you can use F sharp, you can use C sharp. I don't know if you can use VB, because I've never done that, and I've never seen anyone use VB for Xamarin. You probably can. But it all points to that even if it's still a programming language that Microsoft adds features to, when they work on new frameworks, when they work on new functionality, C sharp is going to be the thing that they put their first focus on. If we look at Azure Functions, for instance, you can use Node.js, or you can use C sharp. You probably can't use VB for Azure Functions at this moment. But they'll probably bring that across, because it all comes down to Visual Studio. And yesterday, they announced Visual Studio 2017, which will, you know, bring all these features that we're going to talk about soon in C sharp into the latest version of Visual Studio. But that also lets us work with operating systems like Linux. And I think that's pretty exciting. So I can, no matter if I build my app on Visual Studio 2017 in VB.NET, I can bring that across once it's compiled to Linux, which is really awesome. So when I talk about the future of a programming language, what most people probably want to know is what will get me the most money. At least that's what I want to know. Because I don't want to invest any more time in a programming language that will not keep me employed. I want to be able to go to work, make a lot of money with the programming language that I think is the most fun to work with. And if we look at, you know, the trends online, this here is an example of a site that they got job ads, and they've scanned through titles and keywords and tried to find the most common ones. Java is, of course, winning because everyone wants to do Java. I don't know any Java developers, but whenever there's a Java conference, There's so many people. I don't know where they are when they're not working or when they're at the conference. Like, I've never met, you know, a client that asked me to do Java. It's funny. And C# is down here, so it's a second one. So if we want to get employed, if we want to have a job, we probably want to work in C# or Java. But I don't want to work in Java. I want to do C#. But we don't see F# or VB here. There's other programming languages that we don't see either. There's no Swift and so forth. That doesn't mean that those jobs are not out there. Doesn't mean that there's no way for us to find a VB.NET job if we so want to. Because, you know, there's still web forms apps out there that are in VB. We still have VB6 applications out there that needs to be built. If you're a killer VB.NET developer, these companies already know about you. You don't have to go and look for job ads. Right? If we look at GitHub, so this here is the number of active repositories for different languages. And in this case here, JavaScript is the winner. And then Java, Python, CSS, PHP, and then C# comes over here. So if we compare the job market with the open source community, we see that, sure enough, there's still a lot of C# developers that contribute to the C# community on GitHub. But the job market is also screaming for C# developers. And again, we don't have any F# or VB here. I don't think I've ever seen a VB.NET open source project, which surprises me, because there's a lot of VB developers out there. So why do you choose one language over the other? Well, it comes down to preference. It comes down to which language am I most comfortable with. And it's OK that we have a diversity in our project. Because in Visual Studio, it supports us adding a VB.NET project. It supports us adding an F# and C# project. And they can solve their problems by themselves. But then again, other developers might be scared of the idea of you mixing and matching languages. But we're in an era where it's OK to write .NET for Linux. So why wouldn't it be OK to write F# and C# in the same solution? Again, can I trust Microsoft? Does anyone not trust Microsoft? Great. So how many of you do Silverlight? Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. So Silverlight was one of those things where Microsoft preached about, this is going to be the way that we build rich applications for the web. Unfortunately, that didn't really go so well. But that doesn't mean that there's not Silverlight apps out there anymore. It's not that long ago that I worked on a Silverlight app that still works. It's still running. The developers are still actively maintaining that app because it still solves the problem that that initial customer had. It's still a great platform. It's just not developed anymore. The same goes for web forms. Anyone still doing web forms? Web forms is not dead. It's on life support, which means that in a few years, web forms will probably be something in the past. We build our new apps in ASP.NET MVC, or we use ASP.NET Core. But what's interesting is that when I've had conversations with people at Microsoft, and we start talking about web forms, and you know, no one probably uses web forms, I say, and they correct me and tell me, you know, the most ASP.NET applications that are being worked on out there are actually web forms. So even if all that we see here, we are very forward-thinking. We look at the latest technologies. You want to learn more about which programming language should I invest in the next 5 or 10 years. We should not forget that there's so many projects out there that still rely on older technology that's not dead. It's just not actively maintained, which is not the same thing. So just keep calm. If you work on web forms, it's totally OK. Web forms is still great. It still works for VB developers, it works for C# developers, and there's a bunch of components out there. So again, they had the idea of componentizing their entire workflow, right? You bought a component for web forms and you drop that in your app. The same goes for which language do we choose for the future? We can build a component in F# or a component in VB or C#. Depends on what problem we solve. Anyone doing C++? Great. Microsoft do care about C++ developers because it ultimately comes down to Visual Studio. Visual Studio lets us build apps in C#, VB, F#, C++, and the idea of Visual Studio is that you have the best experience possible building any apps. And now with the idea of also running Visual Studio on the Mac, it means that we get the same experience working on the Mac as on the PC, which is great. All right, so let's spend a little time talking about what's coming in the future. So Microsoft, as I've mentioned, they focus a lot on introducing new features in C#. They're also working actively on releasing F# and VB features. But since there's separate teams between the VB and C# teams and F# teams, they do get kind of different focuses. So I'll talk more about the features that are coming in C#. One of the first ones is tuples. So tuples have been around for a long time. Tuples makes it easy for us to, you know, set up multiple return types, for instance. So this example here is a very trivial example. But in this case here, I have a method called getPoint. Instead of returning a new object called point, which has two properties, I'm instead saying, hey, I want to return these two values. And then I can call this getPoint function here. And I can use point.x and point.y, which is pretty cool. So this addition here will make it sometimes a lot easier for me to work with multiple return types. One of the examples where I would probably use this is if you invoke a web service, for instance, or an API backend. You want to know which HTTP status code you got back, as well as getting the body. But you don't want to set up a DTO or, you know, a response object for all your types. In that case, tuples here would be excellent. I could also use this thing down here called a deconstruction. So I could say that I want you to map whatever's coming from that point into these two new variables. Those two variables would then be attached to point. So I'll show you here an example of that. So here again, we can use this thing called deconstruction. And you see here at the top that they're both coming for C# and VB. So tuples is one of those concepts that Microsoft wants to introduce in both these different languages. I could also use deconstruction in a different way. I could say that I want you to map whatever you got from the response of those tuples into these two new variables. So hopefully, you know, this will bring down the amount of code and the amount of redundancy of things that I need to write in my app. Again, this is a very trivial example. And then I could map this here again in the same manner. It's a little bit different syntax, solving the same problem. But this here is available for both C# and VB. Does anyone know what a record type is? One. That's awesome. So this was a feature, or is a feature, that might be coming to C# 8. So tuples is in Visual Studio 2017. But this thing here has been talked about since they talked about releasing C# 6. They added this to C# 6. They removed it from C# 6. They added it to C# 7. And guess what they did? So the idea of record types is that this here kind of specifies a little bit of properties on my triangle. So a triangle inherits some shape. I have these three different sides here. The idea of a record type is that I can say that a triangle cannot exist without A, B, and C. So instead of having to introduce those properties and, you know, being very verbose, I can write less code to solve the same problem. So I'm using the compiler, and I'm using the power of Roslyn to allow Microsoft to introduce these features into the programming language. And for them to add this in the programming language is very simple. Well, I say that it's simple. I have no idea how much work it is, but it feels simple because they've added it and removed it a few times now. So clearly, it must be super simple. But this is not coming. They removed that from C# 7 as well. So this is a feature that might be added later on. And it's a fundamental principle when we talk about functional programming. So when you come from a functional programming background, if you work with F# or Scala or any other functional programming language, you want record types. But it's something that is coming in the future. And it's only talked about for C#. Then we have pattern matching. The idea of pattern matching is that I have, in this case here, I have a shape. And then this shape is now a rectangle. I want to say that if this shape is a triangle or if it's a rectangle, I want to do different things. So the idea here is that I can introduce a switch statement that says, if the case is that this shape is a triangle, I can then map that to a local variable and use that inside that scope, inside that case block. Same goes for if it's a rectangle. So this here removes all the typecasting. It removes things like, you know, it's less error prone. It makes the app look a little bit better. But then again, this is only a C# 6, C# 7 feature. But as the program manager of the VB.NET team said, this is going to be what takes VB to the next level. So if you're not convinced that Microsoft is investing any more time in VB, take this as your proof. Then another feature that they're introducing in both C# and VB is something called digit separators and binary literals. So this here is just a simple way for me to, you know, separate digits inside a large number, for instance. So this here is the max value of int. I'm just separating this using an underscore, which makes it a little bit more readable. It's not revolutionary, right? It's not like we have these big numbers all over the place in our apps. But if I work in numbers with millions and you know, in billions, it's easy to add one or more zeros. And this makes it a lot easier to remove that error. Something funny here is that we can do this. I can use my int max thing here, and I can append one. Does anyone know what happens when I do this? The reason for the unchecked thing here is because this does an overflow. So what's happening is that now the value is going to be minus 2,147,000,000 something something, 48. So C# is funny like that. But I can use that together with, you know, operators that we've seen in the past. So I can do plus and multiplication and so forth. So that's digit separators. We also have something called binary literals. So instead of writing hexadecimal code for, in this case, I'm just specifying the number 16. It's very geeky, so I don't want to see everyone doing this. I would be pretty upset if everyone started using binary literals instead. This maps to an int. But instead of having to write the hex code or the int itself, I can be cool and write it like this. Another feature that they're bringing across to C, so this is coming to both C# and VB. Another feature they're only bringing across to C# at this time is something called local functions. So we've had this concept of being able to do delegate and inline actions in the past, but now we can write true functions within another function. So I'll challenge you to come up with a scenario where you would do that. Most of the case, maybe it's for a smaller delegate. I wouldn't want to see developers that I work with take, you know, 100-line functions and put them inline in another function. That's not good practice. But in this case here, I'm inlining a function here. It's calculating the Fibonacci sequence of whatever x I pass in to calculate. It's pretty simple, but it's something that's going to make my language a little bit different. And hopefully, I can isolate these functions so they're just local to that scope. The idea is that I don't have to specify them on my class, because if I specify a private function on my class, they're kind of attached to that thing. I don't want to add a helper. You know, it's just a way for me to remove redundancy and confusion in my apps, to write more elegant code, to follow better design principles. Another cool feature coming to both of C# and VB is something called ref returns, or reference, a way to reference values. So this here is a bit mind-boggling. So what happens here is that I'm saying that I can pass a source of elements. It's an array of ints. I pass that to my find function. And then I return a reference to the first item. It's not the value that I'm returning, which will be obvious when we look at this example here. So what I'm doing here is that I'm initializing my source. I have on the first element has the value 1. The second value is 2. If I pass this into find, what happens is that the find function call returns a reference, which means that the entire thing on the left-hand side will be a reference to that position in the array, which means that I can declare that to a value. You couldn't do this before. So this means that source 0 would now be the value of 10. Which is pretty cool. And you would use this, you know, frequently if you worked with large images, for instance. If you do bitmap manipulation, this is really a killer feature because you don't have to pass temporary arrays all over the place. And yeah, it makes it a little bit easier to work with. All right, one more feature that is coming to C# only. This is also a feature they removed from the C# 6 release. So the idea here is that sometimes we work with out parameters. It's mostly legacy code, or if we work with interop with external libraries. The idea here is that to get a point here, it maps these two out parameters to whatever we pass in. Previously, we'd had to set these two up before we call the method. The idea now is that we can do inline declarations of these parameters. So instead of having to declare x and y before I call the method, they will only be declared if I get a value passed back from that function call. It's two less lines of code, but if I do two lines less code for all my different, you know, method calls, that's great. That makes me happy. So at this point, you're probably asking, which language should I use? Which language is going to be the one, you know, available for the next 10 years? If you ask yourself, 15 years ago, which language should I have worked on in 2016? You know, most of us would probably have guessed C++ or Java or any other language that was very, very popular in the enterprise. It's impossible to know which of these languages are going to be here for the next 5 or 10 years, but we can look at the history and see that Microsoft has always added more features. They're always maintaining their developers. They're maintaining the tools that we use to build these different applications. So if we trust that Microsoft will continue evolving VB and C# and F#, we can use the language that we choose and that we like the most for that particular problem that we're solving. So I think it's okay that we're not afraid of mixing and matching these languages for different scenarios. And of course, as I said before, I am a little biased because I wrote this book. But I do think that even when I wrote the book about C#, I felt that the influences from F# and VB were fundamental to the evolution of C# as a programming language. But there's not one language out there to rule them all. There's not one language that we can use that solves all the different problems for us. Even if you talk to an F# developer, they would tell you that I can do anything in F#. If you talk to a VB developer, they tell you that there's no reason for me to go over to C# because VB is doing everything that I wanted to. I know VB the best. There's no reason for me to have to change my practice. And the same goes for C#. They're good for different things, but they're all getting features from one another. So, you know, the way that we write code today has changed over the years. Since the first version of C# to the version that we have today, it's changed a lot. So let's just wrap this up. If we look at C# 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 and the aligned releases of VB, they've all gotten features out of each other. They all take the best parts from each programming language from one another. Like we got async support from F#. We got the ideas of how do we build proper async apps from the research that they put into building F# as a programming language. We got the idea of pattern matching from F# into C#, and hopefully that's also coming to VB. So if you want to choose a programming language that is certainly going to be around for a long time, I would choose C#, because C# is here to stay. All the latest technologies and, you know, .NET Core, and we have ASP.NET Core, and we have Azure Functions, and everything that's running on mobile with Xamarin, everything's building on C#. And then we can have our microservices or microsystems written in VB if we want to. Make use of the knowledge that's already out there from VB developers or F# developers or other functional paradigms, right? Take those people, let them work on your system, and I think that's going to make a really good recipe for building great apps. I want to ask you to please evaluate the session, and if you have any questions about C# as a programming language, or, you know, if you want to talk more about F# or why you would choose VB over the others, I'd be sticking around here for a while. Thank you so much for coming to this session. I hope you've enjoyed me talking about the future of these programming languages, even though if there's no clear path what's happening in the future, I hope you get an idea of that Microsoft is heavily invested in improving the languages, improving the experience for all the developers in here and around the world, and that they make it easier for us to work together. Thanks a lot.